Good morning and welcome back for our new semester. God's blessings to all of you in this new year. This morning our text is select verses from Psalm 90, which is believed to be the oldest of the Psalms written by Moses and possibly the oldest portion of Scripture. And I invite you to read it with me together in unison. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In an interview years ago, the actor George Clooney said these words, "I don't believe in happy endings because ultimately you die at a very young age or you live long enough to watch your friends die. It's a mean thing, life." And he's kind of right. Just last year, think of the people that we lost, famous people, Natalie Cole, 65, Senator Fred Thompson, who ran for president one time, 73. NBA coach Flip Saunders, who even coached in our gym at one time, 60. Leonard Nimoy, Dr. Spock, 83. Apparently even being half Vulcan doesn't spare you. The all-star wrestler Roddy Piper, 61. Dave Henderson for the Red Sox, 57. Daryl Dawkins, NBA champion, 57. So 2016... What athletes are going to die this year? What musicians are going to die? We just lost David Bowie this morning. What actors are going to die and politicians are going to die in this new year of 2016? Isn't it interesting to note that not only in the psalm we just read together, but in other places in Scripture, when God the Holy Spirit talks about life from God's eternal perspective, how short it is, He uses imagery to try to connect it to how we look at things. A blade of grass, a flower that grows up and fades, a watch in the night, a sleep in the night, a flood carrying debris away. That's the way, from God's eternal perspective, when he looks down at this little thing that we call life, that we're in the middle of, that's how he looks at it. How much more insignificant the years we spend here in this world seem from that vantage point of eternity. The first month that I was in seminary, Professor Mark Harsted, who died 1 year ago this month, Professor Mark Harsted, I remember, was teaching us from the book of Genesis. We hadn't gotten very far into it. We were in Genesis 5, where it says, "And Adam begat Seth, and he died. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died." And he talked about the drumbeat of death, and I still remember him pounding on the podium, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And he said it's like a metronome. It's just the little instrument they use to keep you in timing in piano. It's just like a constant ticking away that just keeps rolling right at us all the way down into our lives today. Now, the culture we live in doesn't like to hear this. The culture we live in wants to paint a different image of the life that we're in. It doesn't want to face this harsh reality, if you will, that the psalmist is writing for us. It has to do it because it would just be too depressing and too difficult to face it head on. Just couldn't take it. It's interesting that when a little baby is born, everybody wants to be around that little new life and all the hope that that shows. But as soon as death comes, we want nothing to do with it. We want to pay people a lot of money to take it away from us so we don't have to deal with it. We don't want to have to go stand and look at it. We want to spend as brief a time in the waiting line at the caskets of our friends and relatives so we just don't have to face it. It's too hard. We pay people money to come in as makeup artists to paint the corpse so it looks better. We pick out the best dress and the best suit to put on it. We put up the best stones on top of those graves in the cemeteries. We try to hide our cemeteries. We try to make it look as best we can or get it as far away from us as we can. But the harsh reality is, it's there. And it's there in front of every one of us. The psalmist says it so blatantly. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Martin Luther said that before he learned about Christ, he couldn't read this psalm. He had to put it down. He just couldn't take it. It's too real. It's too raw. It's too right in our face about who we are and how tiny and small and short and brief this little life is that we are living in. And even on this campus, every year, it seems to reach into our student body and pick out someone's parents or relatives or sometimes even someone who's sitting right in this chapel. Now, God comes to us through his word and he doesn't want to sugarcoat all of this. He doesn't want us to try to paint things on death and the shortness of this life. He'd rather have you just face it head on. But to do that with what he did for you at Christmas, to do that with the great epiphany of his son, the manifestation of his own son coming into this world, who came into this world to give you the great antidote to this problem that we're facing, to give you the answer to your death, and to give you the hope of life that goes on after this short, brief life that we are going to be living in. We're told that our Lord Jesus was born into this world to redeem those who were under this law of death. And that's why he was given a specific name, Jesus. And how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Because we know that that means he came to be a savior. Your name and my name may not mean much as far as why our parents picked it out, but this one was picked out by God. Because the name of your Redeemer means Savior, someone who can take away this problem from you. And he says to you, I have come that you may have life and to have it more abundantly. We're told in the book of Hebrews that the Son of God shared in our humanity so that he might put to death this problem of death and that he might free us who all our lives have been held in bondage to this fear of death. That's why he was made manifest in this world. And what a beautiful, wonderful relief he brings to us. What a new way of looking at life he brings to us through his word. Let me give you a great example of that, the hope that this gives. Many years ago, there was a young lady in my congregation I was serving who was dying of cancer, and she was in the hospital. And on the way up to see her one day, I happened to run into her husband and two little children who were also going in to visit their mother and wife. And the father was upset, and he pulled me aside and he said, I wish you could talk to the nurses for me. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, they keep wanting to keep our children out of the room. They don't want the children to have to see her dying. And I want my children to see her dying. We're going up to sing Christmas carols to her right now. We're going up to sing to her about Jesus, the Savior. He realized that with the hope of Christ in your heart, even when you're a little kid watching your mom die, it can give you satisfaction and peace and hope and comfort and strength in this world. That's what the good news of Christ offers us. And so what this psalmist is saying to us and expressing on behalf of the Holy Christian Church, teach us through your word to number our days in this short, stupid little life. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may grab onto by the Holy Spirit's work what Christ has done for us, possess him, hold on to him, cherish him, the one who paid for every sin we've ever committed, so that we will someday rise out of our stupid graves. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And may you and I, along with all the believers in the Holy Christian Church, say with the words of our psalm, Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Become part of this Holy Christian Church through faith. Stay a part of it. Stay around the word and sacraments. This is the dwelling place of the Lord. This is where he comes to you through his word and sacraments to grab your heart, to connect you to the one individual who can get you out of your graves and make this meaningless life that seems so short actually have some meaning and purpose and value. May God bless your 2016 in Christ. Amen. Please rise and join with me in prayer. Please turn to page 149 in the front part of your hymn book. We'll use the prayer for the new year on the bottom, prayer number 17, page 149. Almighty and everlasting God, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for all your benefits, temporal and spiritual, bestowed upon us in the year past, and we beseech you of your goodness, grant us a favorable and joyful year. Defend us from all dangers and adversities, and send upon us the fullness of your blessing, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.